God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' precious name, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come before your throne of grace this night, Father. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, that we can partake of your word, Father. Father, we thank you that it is your word that feeds us, Father. And Father, we just pray, Lord, tonight that by your precious Holy Spirit, Father, you will just anoint this word, that you will feed our souls, Father. And Father, that word that you give us, Father, will grow in our hearts, bring forth fruit unto your glory, Father. Father, we just commit this into your hands, Lord, in Jesus' name, in name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I believe the Lord has given me a little word of encouragement to all of us tonight. And as we know that all of us are going through many trials and tribulations at the moment, trials of healing and different scenarios in our lives. And I believe the Lord would have us just to look at Daniel chapter 3. And I know that this is a chapter that we do know very, very well, but I believe that the Lord would just have us to look through this tonight and just see what he would say to us tonight. So I'll just read from the beginning of chapter 3, and then we'll open up the verses that I believe the Lord would have us to look at. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth of it was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and governors and captains, the judges and treasurers and counselors, the sheriff and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the princes and governors and captains and judges and treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the sackbut, the psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall in the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." And history tells us that at this time in Babylon, the fiery furnace was used as a deterrent. And those, it is said at that time, who made merchandise of selling their wares, which were belonging to the king, were actually put on a spit and fried alive over the furnace. And bakers and what have you, who made their living from using a furnace, if they did anything wrong, were usually thrown into their own furnace. So we can see what a wicked nation that these were. And therefore, at the time, all the people heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music. All the people, the nation, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said unto the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." There were certain Jews whom were set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And it is typical, as it will be in the end, as it was here, that there you have people who go running to the king to tell him that this person is not doing this and this person is not doing that. And at the end of the day, it says in the word that in the end times, parents will betray their children and so on in the end time. And here, again, as accusations are given against Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And if we just go over to Acts chapter 24, verses 1 to 6, we will see another scenario where Paul was accused before the people in Rome. Acts chapter 24, verses 1 to 6. And here Paul is brought before Felix the governor, and it says, and after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended, and the elders with him, a certain orator named Tullius, who informed the governor against Paul. There we are, somebody who is informing against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullius began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy provision, we accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I beseech thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found a man, a pestilent man, and a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to thy law. And there again, there's a man who's, Paul is doing the right thing by God, but along comes somebody to accuse him for what he is doing. And this is exactly what will happen and is happening with us. Those who are righteous, those who live by the way of God, are usually accused of this, that, and the other. And so it was here in Babylon with these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they wouldn't bow down to the king's golden image, their accusations were made against them. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and whosoever falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There were certain Jews who were set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not thou serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you fall down, if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Praise God. That this king had exactly the same words. He said, who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hand? And if we look in Exodus 5, chapter verse 2, we see Pharaoh the king saying exactly the same, or Pharaoh in Egypt saying exactly the same thing. Who is that God? Exodus chapter 2, verse 5, and Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice, who let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Hallelujah. Praise God. And here, Nebuchadnezzar even gave the three Hebrew children a chance to change their mind to bow down and worship at his golden image. But as we know, they would not relent. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Praise God, what a statement to make. Hallelujah. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What faith these children had in their God. They knew that whatever befell them in this matter, even if they were cast into the fiery furnace, that God would deliver them out of that. And I have to say for myself that, you know, would I have the faith to stand like that as they did? I think that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves, that if we are faced with issues like that, if the Lord happens to tarry, would we come out with a statement like that? Would we say, you know, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter? Praise God, what a statement, so full of faith and trust in their God. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They had it so set in their heart that they knew that God would deliver them from the burning fiery furnace. And as we testings and tribulations, whatever it is, you know, is our heart coming out with the same sort of thing? Is our heart telling us that God will deliver us from whatever we go through? Because I believe that that is what God wants to hear from us. He wants us to be telling him that we do totally trust in him. We will not look to any other form of way out of our situation other than only to trust in him. So praise the Lord for the three Hebrew children and what they have said, that God will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Hallelujah. Praise God. There was no doubt at all in their speech. Their hearts and minds were totally fixed upon a deliverance from God. They knew so well that God was faithful and that he would deliver them and answer their cry when they were when they needed deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. If we turn to Matthew 10, verses 19 and 20. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. But when they deliver you up, be not anxious how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God will give us the words to say, whatever the situation we find ourselves in, God will give us the words to say. And he goes on to say, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaketh in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is God who speaketh through us, who gives us the words to say, gives us the answers to speak to these people who, as the Hebrew children being confronted by the king, they weren't worried about themselves. All they were concerned about was their faith in God and that they knew their God would be faithful. Hallelujah. And again in the same chapter, verse 28, it says, "And fear not them who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Hallelujah. So we're to fear God and not to fear man, because God is the one who has the ultimate say over our life as to where we go at the end. So we are to fear God and not to fear what man will do to us, because whatever man try to do with us, God will always deliver us out of that situation, or deliver us in the situation, whatever it may be. It's up to us. We decide which way we go. We have that free will. God has given us a free will. We make the choice as to whether we want to go God's way or we want to go another way. But praise God, I believe that the Lord is working in each one of our hearts now in this time, that we are looking more and more to him and doing his will rather than looking to any other thing or any other body. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 17. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image, pardon me, which thou hast set up." So they had it. They had it in their heart that whatever befell them, they were not going to worship Nebuchadnezzar or his golden image or whatever it was. Hallelujah. Can we just turn to 2 Timothy 4:17-18? 2 Timothy 4:17-18. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory and for ever and ever. Amen." Hallelujah. That's Paul speaking again. And praise the Lord. We know what Paul has been through, all the things that he was going through. But no matter what he went through and was going through, he still stood in faith with God, because he had it in his heart. He said, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." So he knew whatever happened, his life was preserved in God. God's deliverance was sure to Paul and to these Hebrew children. Revelation 7, verses 13 to 15. Revelation chapter 7. Verses 13 to 15. Hallelujah. "And one of the elders answered and saying unto me, Who are these who are arrayed in white robes? And from where did they come? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they who came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. Praise God. Didn't make any difference what they went through. Those who went through the great tribulation will come through purified white, because they stay with it with God. Hallelujah. Verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed, against Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than was usually heated. Hallelujah. Notice the number, 7, perfect number. Hallelujah. And also with the fire being heated up 7 times hotter, it would make death a lot quicker. They would not suffer. They would be killed instantly in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar hadn't thought of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their stockings, and their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and rose up in haste, and spoke, and said unto the counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the fire, in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt on, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God's. Hallelujah. Praise God. God had met the three Hebrew children in the midst of the fire. Praise you, Jesus. What a deliverer we have. Even Nebuchadnezzar had to confess that God had was in the furnace and had delivered them, because he could see that there was no hurt upon the children. And God will deliver. Hallelujah. If we go to John chapter 8, verse 36. John chapter 8, verse 36. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise God. As the children were met with Jesus in the midst of the fire, the Lord set them free. And that's exactly the same thing as that he can do for us. No matter what the situation we find ourselves in, you know, the Lord, if we seek his face, the Lord can set us free from whatever it may be. There is no situation that God cannot deal with. Because he says in the word that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God, praise the Lord. If we ever look at Psalm 138, verse 7, Psalm 138, verse 7. Hallelujah. Psalm 138. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Praise God. Hallelujah. No matter what encompasses, whatever trouble we come against, upon me, God will always be there to hold us up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He will revive us in whatever the trouble we're in. He will stretch forth his hand against the wrath of our enemies, and his right hand shall save me. Hallelujah. Praise God. He will save us. Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Praise God. No matter what we go through, God is always there. We're not to fear what is coming our way. It may look terrible, but we are not to fear. We are just totally to be like these Hebrew children, to put our total trust in God, no matter what the enemy throws at us. We just say, as these Hebrew children did, you know, that whatever the situation is, we're not careful to answer in that matter. We just put our total trust in him. We have to have that full assurance of faith within our hearts that we can just act and respond in the same heart and attitude as the Hebrew children did. That we're not careful in this matter, but we just stand firm in God and in what he says he will do for us. He, in his promises, that he says that he will deliver us from whatever it will be. He will supply our need in whatever situation it is. Praise God. He is the God of impossibilities, and he loves to show us that he is the God of impossibilities. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fiery furnace. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a deliverance. What a deliverance that they, the Hebrew children, had had. And God is quite able to deliver us out of a situation, and he's quite able to deliver us in the situation. Hallelujah. He can keep us out of a situation, deliver us from it, or if we're in the situation as these Hebrew children were, he can deliver us in that situation. It doesn't make any difference whether he deliver us in life or he delivers us in death, because at the end of the day, if we die in the situation, then praise the Lord, we're with the Lord, so that we get our deliverance because we are faithful unto God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Faithfulness brings deliverance and blessing. That is what the Hebrew children received. You know, they were faithful to God in not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar, the same as what God is expecting us not to, to get to partake of these things of the world, what we shouldn't do, to be part of the stand steadfast in what God commands us to do and requires us to do. And if we are faithful to him in that, whatever we go through, whatever trials we go through in that situation of being in steadfast with him, he will bring the deliverance, no matter what it is. God will deliver us out of that situation, and at the end of it, we receive the blessing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was the hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent forth his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and has changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Hallelujah. Deliverance through the power of God in whatever situation it is. And that is what God is trying to do with us and trying to work in our hearts, that whatever situation we find ourselves in, no matter what it is, God will deliver us out of that situation. He wants us to put our total trust in him. Praise God. So we look totally to him and not to anything else. And God will deliver us. He will bless us. And we will have acknowledgement of men. Men will acknowledge that God is a God who can perform what he says he will perform. Just as this king had to acknowledge that God was supreme, that God had delivered these Hebrew children out of this burning fiery furnace. You know, praise God. Others will see in the world that God can do and deliver us from situations if we remain faithful. Hallelujah. God is the King of creation, the God of heaven and earth, and he can do abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. So we must continue to look to him, to look to him in every situation. Just if we can turn to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job chapter 38. And God can use certain situations and trials and tests, whatever it is, to prepare us and to perfect us to deal with situations in our lives, as I said, to perfect our lives to conform to his requirements. And here we see in the book of Job that Job thought that he was perfect before God. God had himself said earlier that he was an upright man when Satan went to him to inquire of Job. But Job had a problem, and this was why God allowed the enemy to Satan to deal with Job. And in verse 28, in Job 38, God challenges Job about himself. And I'll start here in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who has laid the measure of it, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sung together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with the door when it broke forth as it had issue of the womb? I made the cloud its garment, the thick darkness a swaddling band, and broke up for it my decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, Thus far shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall the proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since the day, and caused the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked might be shaken of it? It is turned like clay to the seal, and they stand like a garment. God is actually telling Job here that, you know, whatever happened, all the things that are in the world was all done by his hand. He created everything, God is challenging Job over this. And in the end, because of what he'd gone through, he had to acknowledge that God was God, same as Nebuchadnezzar had to acknowledge that God was God when he came out, when the children came out of the burning fiery furnace. And if we turn over to Job verse chapter 42, we'll see Job's answer and Job's deliverance. And in Job chapter 42, Job said, starting at the beginning, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee." Hallelujah. Job had already acknowledged then that the Lord was Lord, and that he could do anything. There was nothing that he couldn't do, and that no thought that can be held from him. God knoweth everything, as we know. Who is he who hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore have I uttered that which I understood not? Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in ash, dust and ashes. Hallelujah. Job had come to that point. God had used the enemy there to deal with Job. But at the end, Job had a wonderful deliverance. He acknowledged what his problem was, which was pride. And God really blessed him in the end, because he had acknowledged that God was king, God was God, as it were, and that he was in control of all things. Job then received the blessing that God had for him. And as we know, that went on to say that Job had all his things restored unto him. And it says in verse 12, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels," and so on and so on and so on. And he had 7 sons and daughters, and we know the end of that story. But praise God, God can use these situations to test our hearts, to see where we are, as he did with the Hebrew children. He tested them by allowing them to go through the fiery furnace, and that they looked to God and acknowledged him. They had no thought of acknowledging anything else. They had a total heart of faith set upon their God. And so it was with Job. When he acknowledged that God was God, God gave him an abundance when he came to that right standing with God. And God can do that with us. He can use situations to bring about change in our life. Hallelujah. And when we acknowledge that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he is the God of all creation of heaven and earth, and that, you know, he is in full control of our lives, then there is a mighty blessing in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. God had allowed the captivity of these men in the land, these 3 men. They had been taken out of their own land so that God could do a work with them. And God had done a work with them, and he had tested them in their faith with him. And so God can do that with us. He can allow situations to come across our path, that he tests us, that to see where our hearts are, see how we would react to certain situations. He can use those situations to perfect that which need to be perfected in our lives. God did this with, as I said, Job. He did it with Paul. He did it with with Noah and Moses and many others in the Bible. So at the end of the day, why should we think anything should be different for us? You know, are we something special that we shouldn't go through trials and tribulations? But we're not. We will have to go through all these things in order that God will bring about that perfection in our lives that he wants to bring about. Praise God. Let's go to Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much trial and tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That with much trial and tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelations chapter 1 verse 9 said that he was, John, a brother in tribulation. As we know, John was shut up on the Isle of Patmos. And he was going through tribulation. Hallelujah. And if we go to Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation or tribulation, as it says in the King James, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the world. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Hallelujah. So praise God. You know, if we keep God's word with patience, if we stay with it, no matter what comes our path, no matter what we have to go through, then praise God, he will keep us from the hour of temptation. He will keep us in tribulation. And just as it was with the Hebrew children, that as they stayed faithful to God, they continued to look to him, and they had a heart so full of faith that God would do whatever he says he will do, then they, as they remained faithful, God delivered them out of that situation. And I believe that that is exactly the same for us, that as we remain faithful to God's word and to what he wants us to do, he is faithful to us, and we will receive the blessing of it. Now, we must not be concerned about what other people say, whatever it is. You know, I think of some who are going through some trials in the body now. You know, if we look at it with the natural eyes, you know, things look really bad, really bleak. But praise God that so many of my brothers and sisters, instead of looking to the natural, are looking to God. And praise God, the Lord is blessing them. He's keeping them in that situation. And I think that is a tremendous testimony to all of us that, you know, as our brothers and sisters who are remaining faithful in the Lord and staying with it as God desires us to do, to continually look to him and to none other, then the blessing comes. And praise God, you know, it is so encouraging to me and to others, I believe, in the body, that God is showing that he is faithful to those who stay with it and who are looking to him and to him alone. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe that that is what the Lord would just have me to just encourage us with tonight, that he will remain faithful to us, that he will keep us in all situations that we find ourselves. You know, but we just have to remain faithful, keep our eyes totally fixed upon him, keep looking to him in every situation, and praise God, he will bring us through. And in the end, praise God, no matter what happens, one day, one way or the other, we shall be in glory with him. Hallelujah.